Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Dravyam karma cha kalas cha swabhavo jiva eva cha vasudevat paro brahmam na chanyuritos di tvataha. Translation: the five elementary ingredients of creation, the interaction thereof, set up by eternal time, and the intuition or nature of the individual living beings are all differentiated parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. And in truth, there is no other value in them. Srila Prabhupada's purport. This phenomenal world is impersonally the representation of Vasudeva, because the ingredients of its creation, their interaction, and the enjoyer of the resultant action, the living being, are all products produced by the external and internal energies of the Lord Krishna. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7.4.5. The ingredients, namely earth, water, fire, air, and sky, as well as the conception of material identity, intelligence, and the mind, are produced of the external energy of the Lord. Living entity who enjoys the interactions of the above gross and subtle ingredients as set up by eternal time is an offshoot of internal potency, with freedom to remain either in the material world or in the spiritual world. In the material world, the living entity is enticed by deluding nescience, but in the spiritual world he is in the normal constitution of spiritual existence without any delusion. The living entity is known as the marginal potency of the Lord, but in all circumstances neither the marginal ingredients nor the spiritual parts and parcels are independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. For all things, whether products of external, internal, or marginal potency of the Lord, are simply displays of the same effulgence of the Lord, just as light, heat, and smoke are displays of fire. None of them are separate from the fire. all of them combine together to be called fire. Similarly, all phenomenal manifestations, as well as the effulgence of the body of Vasudeva, are his impersonal features, whereas he eternally exists in his transcendental form called Satchitananda Vigraha, distinct from all conceptions of the material ingredients mentioned above. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yavakare Swayam Rupa Vidamayam Vidati Swavadantikam Vanchakal Patu Vishal Kripa Sindhu Vaivaja Patitanam Bhavane Vyo Vishave Maha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadaya Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This verse today is indicating that everything is a manifestation of the Lord's either internal or external energies, and therefore can in no way be independent from the Lord. That constitutionally everything is connected with the Lord. Everything is his energy, and that energy is explained here that energy, the living entities and the external energy, they are the impersonal aspect or creation of the Lord. The material energy is the impersonal creation of the Lord, and therefore is dependent on the Lord's direction. We're also marginal entities, and we're also dependent on the Lord's direction. However, because we're marginal entities, we also have a choice whether to be dependent or independent. And therefore, there is always this choice that we have. In fact, it is a choice that we make every day. Do we want to be independent from Krishna, or do we want to be dependent on Krishna? This is something which, as devotees especially, the question runs through our mind each day. Do I really want to be a devotee? Do I really want to rise early and chant 16 rounds? Do I really want to bow down in front of Guru and Krishna? Do I really want to be controlled by by Krishna? You know, it's something which we will ask not just once, but the best part of the beginning of our spiritual life, we ask this question every day. And you are probably asking this question too. Prabhupada said it takes at least 12 years just to wake up, from being on the lap of Maya, dancing to Maya's tunes. So for the first 12 years we are performing some service, but it's without any realization, it's without with little faith, it's with little determination, and it's generally false, with false enthusiasm. And we have to really push ourselves. And constantly the impressions of the past are coming up within our minds and hearts. Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is very easy. Chanting, dancing and feasting. And so we may ask, well, why is it so difficult then? And it is very simple answer to that question. It is difficult because although Krishna consciousness is easy, we bring in to Krishna consciousness all our impure emotions, all our impure desires. Like that we're the impressions of the past, they're all there. And they're all, you know, in our life still. It's like someone who repairs the road. He's made a new road outside your house, and you're a little boy. You're 7 years old. And when they go home for the evening, you go out to the street and see the new road. And the road is still wet, so you place your foot into the wet cement. And you make an impression with your foot. And then in the next morning, you know, everything is dry and that impression is there. And that person, he may be 7 years old, but he can grow up to 21 years old and call all his friends and say, hey, look, you see that footprint? That's my footprint when I was 7 years old. So in that way, we have these impressions. It's not just from, we're not talking about impressions from the previous life, we're talking about impressions from many, 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 many lifetimes back. These impressions are still there. So that's why Prabhupada said that it takes at least 12 years just to get some balance within our spiritual practices. And then we have to deal with our with the free modes of nature. We have to deal with our minds, with our senses. So it's like an uphill fight. Uphill fight means that Maya has the advantage over you. And that's why it's such a vulnerable time within our spiritual life. When you take a plane journey, the man in the cockpit, he makes an announcement, please sit down, fasten your seatbelt, and enjoy the flight. But you don't enjoy the flight immediately. And it has to first go down a runway, and it's going faster and faster and faster, and it's bumping. And you're just like looking out of the window, and it's a very, you know, intense period of a plane journey, taking off. And you don't really know whether you're taking off until you gain height. You're wondering, when is this thing going to take off? And spiritual life is like that. You practice for 10 years and you're wondering, well, why isn't it taking off? You know, this is still a little shaky here. Why am I? Yeah. But even when it takes off, you still don't enjoy the flight, because then you're up here like this. You're going up. It doesn't go like that, it goes like that. And you're up here like this. Yeah? And then that time the plane is passing through the clouds of ignorance and passion. And then finally, up there, above the clouds, the plane starts to level out. And the sun is shining, and they start serving the drinks. And the devotee, if you're a devotee, you get out your prasadam bike, and then you really enjoy the flight. I don't know about anyone else. They eat their pig food. They don't really enjoy. But this is a material example that spiritual life, you have to take it step by step, because we're marginal entities, and therefore we always have this choice whether to take shelter of Krishna's material energy or his spiritual energy. And until we finalize that choice, we're in a very vulnerable situation. Non-devotees, they have no choice. They made their decision, they want to live a materialistic life. And Prabhupada gives the example of a mango tree. The mango tree is the real tree of the spiritual world. Real society, friendship and love is to be had in the spiritual world, because it's all, everything there is in connection with Krishna. And in this world we're trying to create the same, you know, society, friendship and love. But the tree is a reflection of the spiritual tree, the mango tree, the real mango tree of the spiritual world. Is situated next to a river, and the reflection of the real tree is there within the river. And it looks the same. You look down, you say, oh, this is a tree, there's a tree, it's got some fruits, let's go and take the fruits. And then you reach out for the fruits, but there's nothing there, because it's just a perverted reflection of the real tree. And this is what's going on in the material world. Those who make their choice to be independent from Krishna, they're trying to take the fruits from an illusory tree. And therefore there's disappointment. There's this hankering and lamentation. We hanker for what we don't have. And when we get it, we realize, well, actually it's not so special anymore. It's not what it was made out to be. So then you hanker for something new. And this is a constant phenomenon within materialistic society. Hankering, lamentation, hankering, lamentation, hankering, lamentation. And you get so entangled, as I was showing last night in the slideshow, how the soul becomes so entangled with his senses and with his mind and with the false ego. And there's a network of illusion covering him. He's tied up hand, foot, and each knot is tied tightly. There's knots of attachment. And another knot, and another knot, and we're all in this kind of state, this precarious, unnatural state of existence. And we're trying to perform our activities tied up, covered with Krishna's illusory energy. and we're baffled at every step of the way. And therefore it is explained that the only way you can be freed from that situation is to find someone who's not tied up. This is the a formula which is given in the Bhagavad Gita. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service. He will give knowledge, and he will give the truth, the true way, true path, and will release you from the entanglement of the material world. There's a song by one of my godbrothers. It's only an illusion that keeps me running away from you. It's only an illusion that keeps me doing all the foolish things that I do. Like a foolish deer in the forest who is chasing after water that is simply not there. I spend my life uselessly searching after a mirage. It only ends in despair. Oh Lord, won't you help me understand all the things I need to know to be part of your plan? You've come to save the fallen. Well, I am so low born. Won't you please lend me the strength so I can make a stand? You are the source, beginning, middle, and end. You reside within my heart as a well-wishing friend. O Master of the world, it's just no use to pretend. I'm praying for your mercy. Won't you help me transcend?
Who wrote that?
It's a godbrother of mine, Krishna Karunika Prabhu. So, the fortunate thing about Krishna consciousness is that we can make a distinction between material life and spiritual life. This is actually our great fortune. Sometimes we even don't realize what we've been given. We don't realize how transcendental knowledge can cut through illusion and make us transcendentally situated. We can make a distinction. Now we have this knowledge. Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, the king of all education, and the supreme secret, because even though we distribute Bhagavad Gita profusely, you cannot understand the contents of Bhagavad Gita unless you perform devotional practices. So it's a secret, and it's revealed to those who are sincerely serving Krishna. But what is the result? We understand the difference between reality and illusion. And this is our great fortune. And therefore we can understand what is the difference between the material world and the spiritual world. So I have some differences here, which you can repeat along with me if you like. You'd like to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right, go on.
Yes.
Okay, material world. Say material world.
Material world.
Temporary and miserable.
Temporary and miserable.
Spiritual world.
Spiritual world.
Permanent and blissful.
Permanent and blissful.
Contaminated.
Contaminated.
Pure.
Pure.
Temporary jail.
Temporary jail.
Permanent home.
Permanent home.
Birth, death, old age and disease.
Birth, death, old age and disease.
Eternal youthful existence.
Eternal youthful existence.
Made up of material elements.
Made up of material elements.
made up of pure spirit.
Pure spirit.
Work to survive.
Work to survive.
Play for fun.
Play for fun.
Like that. Ownership.
Ownership.
Home, money, car, etc. are mine. Ownership.
Ownership.
Everything belongs to Krishna.
Everything belongs to Krishna.
Consciousness.
Consciousness.
I want to enjoy.
Consciousness.
I want to serve.
Mentality.
I am the master.
Mentality.
I am the servant of the servant of the servant. Well, this is what I should have told the boy yesterday. False ego.
False ego.
I am this body.
I am this body.
True ego.
True ego.
I am spirit soul.
I am spirit soul.
This is the difference. But you can't tell them like that. If you say, well, it's easy. False ego means you think you're your body. Real ego means that you believe you're spirit soul. It's so simple. But, you know, these kind of people, they try to make everything so complicated. So it doesn't really matter what you say. They don't understand without you know, getting some service. Knowledge has to be entered through the heart, but then you have to be ready to receive it. So it doesn't really matter what you say to them, they still, you know, cannot understand what is the difference between false ego and real ego. But that's the definition here. False ego means you think you're your body, and real ego means that you're eternal, pure spirit soul. Okay, a few more. I am the center of the universe.
I am the center of the universe.
Krishna is the center of everyone's affection.
Krishna is the center of everyone's affection.
Material body with deficiencies.
Material body with deficiencies.
Spiritual body beautiful and absolute.
Spiritual body beautiful and absolute.
And the last one. Suffering comes from our body, mind, and other living entities.
Suffering comes from our body, mind, and other living entities.
And in the spiritual world,
No suffering.
Ever-increasing happiness.
Ever-increasing happiness.
Haribol.
Haribol.
So these are the differences. And gradually, as we move along in our Krishna consciousness, we feel the differences. We can feel you know, the spiritual world may be very, very far away, but the mystical aspect of Krishna consciousness is that even though it's far away, we can experience it here. Meaning to say that we have one foot in the spiritual world. When we practice Krishna consciousness, we already have one foot in the spiritual world. And we keep one foot here too, because we have to do our duties and our services. But the consciousness, as Prabhupada would say, that our temples, they are Vaikuntha temples. You're not in the material world, you're in Vaikuntha. When you're in a temple, that is Vaikuntha. So you're in the spiritual world already. Prabhupada said that these pictures are windows to the spiritual world. So we only have to look at one of our pictures and we're already there in the spiritual world. So we don't need a rocket to blast off in space to get to the spiritual world. We don't even have to leave our residence. If you invite Krishna to your home, then your place becomes a place of spiritual energy and perfection. Any questions you'd like to ask?
Where did you read it from? The last.
Huh?
Where did you read it from?
What's that?
That we had to repeat. Where did you read it from?
The differences between material and spiritual world. Where did I get it from? I'm not sure.
Okay.
You want it?
Yeah, it was nice too.
Huh? Give it to you. Here's a nice thing too. This is the material world game in the 21st century. I'll just read it. You don't have to repeat. Okay? Our communication wireless, our phones cordless, our cooking fireless, our food fatless, our sweets sugarless, our labor effortless, our relations fruitless, our attitude careless, our feelings heartless, our politics shameless, our education worthless, our mistakes countless, our arguments baseless, our youth jobless, our ladies topless, our boss brainless, our jobs thankless, our needs endless, our situation hopeless, our salaries less and less. That's life in the 21st century.
I have a question, Maharaj. I read today in one of the Prabhupada's books about the death that there was a devotee, I don't remember his name, who was sannyasi and he suicided during Chaitanya, when Chaitanya was there. And Chaitanya was telling him, Chaitanya understood that he was thinking about women, and he banished him from his association, so he suicided. And then when, after a while, Chaitanya asked the devotees, where is he? And he said, he suicided. And then he said, good, yes, good. That's what it was written. Yes, good. So how Chaitanya is so merciful that he could say that to his devotee like this, you know, just because of he just think about a woman in his mind. And it was Kali Yuga, right? So, yeah. And for others are like very merciful, but there was this one devotee who was like punished. I don't know, I think it's a huge punishment.
Okay.
To be a ghost.
Right? Okay, well, I My understanding is that he wanted to highlight the importance of the Sannyasa order. He was a sannyasi, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Junior Haridas, I think it was.
Yes.
So, you know, these orders of life, especially sannyasi, anyone who puts themselves in a position of seniority, authority, then we cannot act whimsically. We have to set an example, and therefore Lord Chaitanya in this case is, you know, he himself, he wants to demonstrate the importance of the sannyas ashram and how we should not become whimsically, we should not engage in premeditated fall down. Accidental fall down is one thing, but premeditated is another. Accidental fall down can be there, and maybe it's not taken so seriously. But as far as I understand, with Junior Haridas, his meditation was a premeditated one, so he knew what he was doing. But you know, even so, I think that he had to at least set an example, and he had to set a very clear line of understanding what sannyas is. Because if he took it lightly, then all sannyasis from then on would also think, well, Lord Chaitanya excused Haridas, Junior Haridas, so, you know, I'm more fallen than him. So we would be able to make some kind of, you know, excuse compromise, because Lord Chaitanya did it. But Lord Chaitanya did not do it. He was very firm. And you have to also understand in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, all the personalities within his Leela are also special people. They're not ordinary people. So even if, you know, it sounds quite bad, maybe not necessarily so bad, because they're eternal servants of the Lord. You understand?
Yeah.
But at least, you know, and, you know, 500 years later, which is the present time, when we also have this phenomena of sannyasis falling down. And, you know, it's hard to get the right balance, in the sense that how do you punish or do you not punish? Because sometimes it is stated that there's an English saying that failure is the pillar of success, right? So failure is not necessarily bad, and especially in Kali Yuga, because you fail, it doesn't mean to say that's it. You're now useless and cannot be any reform. So in this in our society, I've noticed how, you know, it's not easy to take sannyas nowadays, because of what has happened in the past, sannyasis falling down. And it basically means that the whole scenario of the sannyas ministry has changed. That whereas previously within the sannyas order, 55% of sannyasis fell down before 1994. after 1994 there were changes within the ministry, and it made it more difficult for people to become sannyasis. And I know it. I spent 5 years on the waiting list. I mean, it was 3 years actually, but I it was another 2 years because I had to sort out some things with my former wife. But it's not like it's so easy to take sannyas. And there's a lot of sifting, a lot of monitoring, and many persons who apply for sannyas don't actually become sannyasis. And still, of course, there is a fall down. We're not saying it's completely, you know, tight and without any fault. But the fall downs are less. I think it's 5% now. So from 55 to 5%, that's quite good. Yeah. What can we say? Lord Chaitanya, he is independent. And sometimes Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Ramachandra, they do things which we cannot understand. You know, why didn't Lord Rama leave his wife when she was completely pure and innocent? Because his duty superseded his freedom. And it's something we cannot understand because we have not been brought up in Vedic culture. But that's why the Lord appears. He appears for that reason, that he enacts these wonderful pastimes, which we may not completely always understand the reason behind it, but we must ultimately conclude that it must be the right thing, the right decision, and for the benefit of everyone else for years to come. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And I think even one of our own sannyasis did the same in the early days.
Prabhupada, yes?
Huh?
He went to Ganges, yes? He's a good singer, I heard.
I doubt whether a devotee becomes a ghost. I think that it's just, if you want, for a devotee it's just reforming his consciousness and starting over again. But for non-devotees, that generally what happens is that they become ghosts once they commit suicide. Anyway, it is a difficult question to answer, but I hope I've...
Yeah,
that's
good.
Anything else?
So who is more important, like to do your duties as in your Krishna consciousness, or like there are sometimes family life and is hard to choose like family life and grihastha life and
health. Is important because unless you're healthy, you cannot do anything. Secondly, is your Krishna consciousness, sadhana bhakti, is important because when you do your daily sadhana bhakti, then whatever you do after that, then it has much more effect. In fact, Prabhupada said, even if you work in a factory, If you chant 16 rounds, then you work in the factories as devotional service. Because you have nothing to do with the factory, the workers, or the work in the factory. You're just there to maintain your family, who are devotees. And so the second is chanting 16 rounds. Make sure that you get your 16 rounds done every day. And then whatever you do after that, it will be done that much more easier and have much more weight, much more potency. Because if you don't chant 16 rounds, it doesn't matter how much time you spend with your family. If your consciousness is not right, then you won't be happy. Your family members won't be happy. There'll be a constant, illusion within the relationship based on bodily concept, life. So it's the 16 rounds, it's the sadhana bhakti that raise the consciousness to pure goodness. So that when we perform our different activities, we can perform them much better, much more easier. And I made sure that I did that as a grihastha. Always chanted my 16 rounds. And, performed puja. And preached, also invited people to the house and namahat programs. So, if you add Krishna to your life, then things go much more easier, much more simple. So that's the way. Health, Krishna consciousness, and then duties. Understand?
What is the meaning of total surrender in Krishna consciousness?
What?
Total surrender. Generally, I heard total surrender. We have materialistic duties also.
But I just told you, they're not materialistic duties. A devotee is not materialistic. If you're raising children in Krishna consciousness, that's service to Krishna. It's not materialistic. Materialistic means that I, me, and mine. Everything belongs to me. This is my family. This is my children. Nothing belongs to us. Everything belongs to Krishna. So if we add Krishna in our life, then whatever we're doing is not material. Srila Prabhupada was a businessman. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a high court judge. These are duties, but they were both devotees, so therefore their service, their duties were in the spirit of service to Krishna. You understand?
Yeah. We can do anything in this material world, just devote ourselves, everything related to, if we relate everything to Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. That's all. That's the missing ingredient. Because you have to be in an ashram. You cannot, not everyone can be sannyasis. And even when you're a sannyasi, it's not like you are off in the forest somewhere. You have to live in the world. And you have responsibilities. Your responsibility is help people in their spiritual practices. Give them guidance. And if you have disciples, you should attend. If you have a couple who are your disciples, you should attend their wedding. Not that we have anything to do with household life, marriage ceremonies. But Prabhupada said you attend anyway, just to encourage the ashram. Just to encourage your disciples within that ashram. Give your blessings. So this is our duty. We have to give spiritual education and direction. Household duties, there are also many duties for householders. But whether you're a householder, sannyasi, brahmachari, you've got to follow those. The foundation of spiritual life must be practiced. And as long as you follow that, then everything else will go that much more easier.
Are there women sannyasi also?
Huh?
Women sannyasi?
What's that?
Are there women sannyasi also?
Women sannyasi. They're not called sannyasis, but they're called widows. And they usually wear white, but they give up, you know, they have no, very little possessions, and they stay in a comfortable place somewhere and render service. But sannyas life is not meant for women. Because sannyasis sometimes we're traveling alone, and you know, we're in situations where we sometimes have to be fearless. But sannyas means fearless. So you can go anywhere and you should be dependent on the Lord. So women need to be protected. So they're always in a protective environment. So therefore sannyas is not conducive for women. But Prabhupada also said that grihasthas can be grihastha sannyasis. Sannyasi means, you know, in one sense, you renounce the world. As Jesus said, live in the world but don't live all of it. So in any ashram you can do that. You can be a grihastha sannyasi, that you have things, but you see it in relationship with Krishna. So you renounce everything, but you offer everything to Krishna. So we can use anything in Krishna's service. It's like someone who works in a bank. They're dealing with money all day long. The cashier is dealing with money all day long, but not for one moment does the cashier think this is my money. She knows it's the bank's money and I'm just working here. So in the same way, whatever we have a house, a car, if it's used properly in Krishna's service, there's nothing wrong. Perfectly fine. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki, chanting 16 rounds every day ki, going back home, back to Godhead ki, Jai. Jai.